Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. This podcast is sponsored by the Kernan Consulting's Millionaire Mastermind Roadshow. Get the answers you need to grow your business guaranteed. This MSP Business Owner Conference is two full days of powerful information, instruction, and action to show you how to thrive in this troubled economy. Join us for an action-packed event in Scottsdale, Arizona on September 28th and 29th and enjoy golf, casino, and the spa experience at the lavish Talking Stick Resort. More information in the show notes.
Well, welcome everybody to the SMB Community Podcast. Today we have myself, Amy Babinchek, and James Kernan. And so what have you been up to, James?
I have been busy, busy. It's, you know, what's interesting, Amy, about the summer months is, you know, we're always busy with work, right? But nobody wants to come visit you when it's cold in the Midwest. But when it's really nice in the Midwest, everybody wants to come visit. So on top of all your busy work stuff, you've got lots of social things going on and then lots of visitors, which I love. I'm not complaining, but it just seems like my schedule is really, really busy. And I also coach football, as if I'm not busy enough. And that takes up some of my evenings and weekend time. So I've been busy, busy, combination of personal stuff and good work stuff.
What age group of football are you coaching?
Actually, I'm coaching high schoolers. So I guess I keep graduating. It's actually like a 9th through 12th grade team. So
okay.
It's been a lot of fun. Some of the biggest mentors for me as I was growing up, besides my father, was football coaches, you know, because I played sports my whole life, starting since third grade and then played all the way through college. And again, some of the mentors I looked up to were coaches, either baseball, football coaches. And so I want to give back as well. That's my driving factor.
That's very nice. So, that's very nice. Yeah. Ninth through 12th on the same team, huh?
Yeah. It's interesting. And actually probably my best player, the most talented player, is a 10th grader, but he looks like he's a senior in college, honestly.
Oh, geez. Big guy.
Yeah. He is a big guy, super fast. Anyway, you can't judge a book by its cover, I guess, age wise, but, I'm lucky to have him on the team.
Nice. Why not? It's something you enjoy. Well, you know, I've been trying to use my boat as much as possible because, you said, it's summer in the Midwest and, you know, there's only so many days. So I try to use all the weekends and then get away for a couple of weeks in the summer months as well. So this weekend we were up there and we did something fun. We took our dinghy with another 18 other dinghies, and we went all the way up the Sheboygan River into Mullet Lake, which is the largest inland lake in Michigan. It's a big lake. It was fun. There was a pontoon boat there with a live band on it, and you know, they were playing all kinds of music, and it was on a sandbar, and so we anchored out and got to know people that I hadn't met before, so that was fun. And I always like traveling up the river. It's, I don't know, Sheboygan is has a working river. So when you start off, it's like the Coast Guard and some marine engineering companies and research vessels. And eventually that gives way to housing and stuff. And it's just kind of a fun, interesting river to traverse up. And you get to go up a lock 13 and a half feet too. So that's fun.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yep, we all crammed into the lock together, all 19 dinghies. So we made sure we got a picture of that. We have an MSP question of the week. And the question is, should employees come into the office, work remote, do hybrid? Is there a best model? What do you think?
Yeah, that gosh, that's so interesting. I think we learned a lot through COVID, right? And if you asked me that question before COVID, I was more of a culture builder where you for sure had to have your people in the office. As you know, if you weren't at meetings, you need to be in the office, right? I mean, that was pretty much my mindset. And then we've got the tools in place to monitor productivity and so forth. I mean, ultimately, long story short, I think my answer would be a hybrid, where you have a combination of both. You give your employees a little bit of freedom, to do what they need to do. But I think it's harder to build your culture, train people when everybody's working remote and it's kind of spotty. But I'm not a fan anymore of having everybody report in the office. You got to be there first thing. You got to be the last one to leave. I think that's old school and that doesn't really work. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've ran running my MSP for 23 years, 100% remote. So, I am definitely an outlier. But what you said about culture is absolutely true. You have to make an effort at it if you're going to have people at home, whether they're at home all the time or hybrid. You have to make an effort at culture. And I think a lot of people took culture for granted. Right. When they had people in the office, they could just sort of assume the culture was happening without having to think about it. Now they have to, that was probably a wrong assumption because I've seen a lot of businesses with very poor culture because it wasn't planned or thought or cultivated. And so when you have a remote business, you have to think about that. And the way that I tackled that was Tuesdays. So, Tuesday morning on 1 week and Tuesday evening on the next week. So we alternated, right? So Tuesday was a Tuesday morning. It was a online meeting, and we would all get together. And this was a time for them to ask questions. We talked about clients. We used to physically get together before COVID. Now we do it online. Back in the day, physically together on Tuesday mornings, just for a meeting. Everybody would come together and we would talk about clients and call out different client names. What's going on with this client? Give us an update. Give us an update, right? Do you have any questions? Do you have any things to bounce off? And I would go so far down as to call out individual names of employees that worked at clients and say, tell me about this person. Because when they're not in the office, they're supposed to be deeply engaged with customers. Right. So I wanted them to actually know the people. And then on the alternate Tuesdays, what we did was group training. And we did it in the evening, so 4 to 7 p.m. And it was written into their employment contract that they would be available every other Tuesday, 4 to 7 p.m. And they would get together physically in person and do group training together. Right. And so those two things are really what kept the culture of the business and also ingrained in them the process of continuous training.
I love, Amy, the idea of the Tuesday evening trainings and that you got physically together and did that, because it's training in itself is hard enough. And if you're doing it by yourself remotely, it's even more difficult and it's even more non-exciting, right? It's the most
Yeah,
boring thing.
it's a lot slower as a group. We would pick out some webinar or course that we wanted to do, and if it was an hour or an hour and a half long, it would take us 3 hours to get through it. Because what happens is the culture that developed was that they had no problem asking questions. So we were constantly stopping the video, stopping the course, make sure everybody was on the right page, everybody understood, giving them opportunity to ask their question. And so I know in a lot of places people are afraid to ask questions, but we really developed the culture of you should be asking questions. Like if you're not asking a question, the culture was that there must be something wrong with you. And we would add, like, why aren't you asking any questions? Like, something's wrong here.
I agree. I agree. It's important. And then Was it all like on-demand training, or did you have live training where you had an instructor, or was it both?
It was almost all on-demand training. The only live instructor there would be me on occasion. You know, I might lead something. So pretty much all on demand. I mean, our industry is really so fortunate that we have training available to us, incredible training available to us at free or very low cost.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're really lucky at that. And, you know, I mentioned the dinghy ride thing. I got to meet some people I hadn't met before, and their topic of conversation a lot was hybrid work and how valuable it was to them, so that they could, you know, even if they were working at the boat, at least they were up there, and that, you know, they, when work was done, now it was instant playtime instead of, oh, let's get in the car and now drive 3 hours.
Yeah. And
so it gave them the flexibility to actually come up with more fun time, which was great. And they talked too about how, but one of them, you know, their daughter had moved out of New York City. She really loved working in New York City, loved New York City. And then when COVID happened, decided to moved into a small town in another state nearby. But when work called her back, she was like, no, you know, I really like where I'm living now. I think I'm going to stay here. And so, yeah. I think a lot of people have made that decision. That the extra flexibility and the ability to live in places that weren't an option before,
right,
is valuable to them. You know, and it's been a problem for our small towns, right? They didn't have jobs for people, so people have to leave the small town if they want to, you know, if they want to earn more money.
Not anymore.
Maybe this is going to turn around. I think it will. I think this is going to be a question still for another decade. I mean, if COVID taught us anything, it's that middle managers were really bad at their jobs. They didn't know how to manage people if they couldn't see them. And, you know, that's going to take time to work itself out. But I think it can really be a boon for small towns, and that would be good for our country.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I love the idea of the hybrid workforce, but you've got to be very deliberate, do certain things like maybe morning huddles for every 10, 15 minutes every day, just to check in, make it interactive, get everybody talking, get them inspired for the day. What did you do yesterday? What are you going to do today? What are your goals or top three things? And then I've even seen some environments, I don't know if I would enjoy this, but use Zoom where you're like on Zoom all day long, interacting almost as if you're in a help desk with other team members, but everybody's, you know, live on Zoom, so they could interact and ask questions and help one another. So, but they're all remote.
Yeah, so. I've heard that too. I think I would find that disruptive myself, but, you know, just depends on, again, that culture that you want to build for your business.
Right.
You know, the other thing I will say that spontaneously happens during COVID is that my staff started logging into Teams in the morning. 8:30 is when they start. And at 8:30 every day now, they put good morning into Teams, right? And sometimes that's just it, good morning, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes a cartoon, sometimes some banter about the latest movie they saw over the weekend happens, but that kind of thing happens in an office when people walk in the door, right? And so it was really interesting for me that it was COVID that added that to my corporate culture, and it was led by the employees that felt the need for that extra little bit of connection.
Yeah. I may have told this story before, but one of my favorite COVID stories was, this was like on the tail end of COVID. And this was in a very restrictive city where, you know, everybody had to work remote. They're very isolated. They didn't want you coming in the office, but it was on the back end. So people were slowly coming back in the office, but it had been a while. You know, unlike in Omaha, Nebraska, you know, it was shut down for like 2 weeks. And then it was like everybody just kind of started getting back together and You'd go in restaurants and it was almost normal, right? But most people were wearing masks, there wasn't much of a lapse at all. But anyway, a client was calling me, and I remember it was later in the day for me because they were a couple hours behind me. And so it was in the early evening for them, but they were messaging me, and he was really upset about his employees didn't want to come in the office, his technicians. And he was so upset, he was getting ready to fire his entire help desk. And I said, hold on a second. I go, really, what's bothering you? And he goes, well, I think they're screwing off. I think they're goofing off, taking advantage of this. And I can't see what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. And I'm going to fire the whole effing bunch of them. And I'm like, all right, calm down, take a deep breath. And we were texting each other back and forth all of this. And then when I could see how upset he was, I jumped on the phone, called him and said, hey, run a profit and loss statement right now. I want you to pull it up and let's take a look, and let's just do the last, I want to see the last 24 months. And then you tell me when your team started working remote, and we're going to do a before and after. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay. And so I want to see it in black and white. I want to see the numbers. And I remember when he pulled the numbers up, all of a sudden he was just super quiet. And I said, okay, well, because I'm on the phone, I didn't see it. And I said, well, what are you looking at? And he said, well, you know, it looks like our productivity's gone up about 25%, you know, meaning I'm making a lot more money. And so their utilization has gone up. Their billable utilization has gone up when they're working remote, and his profitability, his net income went up. Mm-hmm. And I think his net income was up like over 70%, and the productivity was up in the 20s or something, if I remember right. But it was pretty interesting, Amy, when we were kind of looked at the numbers. And I've seen the opposite of that, where people take advantage of it and they goof off. But kind of back to your point, you know, we need to learn how to be better leaders and managers, leverage the tools, keep people engaged and keep them inspired. Long story short, I love the hybrid workforce.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that business owner learned several valuable lessons in that. I mean, probably the most important is he needs to pay attention to the numbers in his business.
Right.
You can't make intelligent decisions if you don't know what's going on, right? I mean, just think of the damage he could have done just acting emotionally that way.
Yeah, because he was certainly very emotionally fired up, and he was charged and he was ready to go. But yeah, that's a great point. It's interesting to me because I was a finance major in college. I love numbers. You know, to me, that's the score. You know, I'm super competitive. I played sports my whole life. That's why they have a scoreboard, right? Because winning is important. And, you know, that's why they keep score. So to me in business, same way, I want to keep score and make sure that we're winning every day and help my customers do the same thing. When I speak at different conferences, of a question I frequently ask, I say, how many business owners in the room have had an accounting or a bookkeeping or a finance class? You know, how many? And normally it's only about 10 to 20%. So not very many. But to your point, Amy, it's shocking to me how many business owners have a hard time reading a financial statement, where they don't really know how they're doing. So it's important to either get someone on your team that does, or create a simple dashboard that will report out the basic things that you need to know on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis. Those numbers are critical.
Yeah, you know, most businesses use QuickBooks, and those reports are built in, right? It's just a matter of a couple of clicks and you can have them. But you're right, you do need to know what it is they're telling you. Yeah. And you need to understand the cash flow in your business a little bit, because some months may look bad, but they're not bad. I had that freak out moment recently myself because, you know, we collected a lot of money one month for the annual renewals for Microsoft licensing, and then we paid it out the next month. So So that second month looked horrible.
Right.
But you know, it's just the way the cash flows through the business was not actually a down month.
Yeah, true. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
It's time for 5 minutes with somebody smart. So 5 minutes with a smart person, I caught up with Catherine Rose from ChannelWise, and here's what she had to say. Hi, this is Carl, and I'm speaking right now with Catherine Rose from ChannelWise. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Carl.
So let me take a big step back and say, what the heck is ChannelWise? And we'll give people the big introduction to that. So first of all, what is ChannelWise? And then we'll talk about you.
Sure. Great. So ChannelWise is a platform that we provide access one-on-one through video consultations, access to experts and subject matter experts and coaches and consultants, if you will, for folks in the channel to get answers to their practical, you know, questions that they're, oh my God, can I say it again?
Yep.
I just came off 4 hours of the coaching cafe. I thought I was going to be good. Okay. ChannelWise is a platform that provides channel partners and vendors access to subject matter experts for one-on-one video consultations so they can get practical, tactical advice for their critical business questions.
Very cool. All right. So now we know what that is. And I have been involved because you invited the National Society of IT Service Providers, where you are a vendor, to participate in some coffee coaching. And we had three coaches there at Channel Partners. And so that was a great experience. And that was my first actual like hands-on being involved experience. Who are you and how did you come up with this versus anybody else on earth?
Well, it really kind of goes back all the way back to like 2007. You know, I was working on Wall Street at the time and the mortgage market melted down. They shut our division. I was 8.5 months pregnant with my first child, and my mom had a brain aneurysm that left her paraplegic within 3 months' time. Exactly, right? Within 3 months' time, you know, I used to say it was like a bad country song. All I needed was like for my dog to run away, my truck to break down, you know, and I'd have a top 10 hit. And that's what it was like. And at the time, I knew I had to reinvent myself, but, you know, I had a brand new baby. I had to, you know, help take care of my mom. And so I really couldn't jump into a full-time job. And, you know, the financial markets were crazy. And so I went back to all my old brokers because that's the salespeople, right? That's what we do. We go to our old clients. Hey, what can I do? I can help you. And they all said they wanted their websites to rank on the first page of Google. Now that was like, you know, it was 2006, 2007. And people, you know, I didn't even know it was called search engine optimization. I didn't know anything about it. I told my top client, I was like, yeah, I'll get back to you in 2 weeks, you know, because as we do in sales, right? And so I didn't know anything about it, like I said. And so everybody wanted me to read their book or take their course. And I was like, you know, I'm pretty smart. I just want someone to show me, like, just show me what to do. I can do this, right? Because I didn't know anything about financial services when I got involved in that. I did pretty well, right? So that's what I did. I found someone to show me. So that's where sort of the germination of this idea came from is, you know, sometimes you don't need a long-term coaching program or, you know, a course. Courses are awesome, but sometimes I just want one answer to one question or a sounding board or something. And so over the years, you know, I've been in and out of the channel many times, AV, telecom, IT side. And I've just built up this incredible network of people. And people are always asking me, oh, can you connect me to Carl? Can you connect me to Amy Babinchak or Eric Simpson or whoever? And I think that's fantastic. And I want to be that conduit. But, you know, Carl, as you know, as a consultant and traveling all over, all you have is what's in your head, right? And you can't have enough pick your brain sessions, you know, you don't have enough time. So it's like, how can I, even with, you know, the dynamics of a small fee, that way you feel that your time is valued. The other person understands the value of your time too. And then, you know, you can get that critical answer to the question. So that's really where the idea kind of started. You mentioned the coaching cafe, and that was something where, you know, I was like, if we could take this in the platform and bring it into an experiential, you know, bring it experiential way into a live in-person setting, that would be really cool. And so so that's what we did. We stood it up at Channel Partners, and we just did our very first virtual one too. So it's been an interesting ride.
Very good. So take a second and tell us the website and how folks can connect with you on social media.
Sure. So it's channelwise.com. And, you know, if you're a vendor, we have information for you on there. If you're a partner, there's information for you on there as well. All of our handles are getchannelwise is the handle, but you're obviously welcome to connect with me personally on LinkedIn as well.
So I have to say, I love the idea of the bite-size coaching or bite-size advice, because there's a lot of things where, like, I kind of sort of mostly know the big picture. I don't know how to get started, or I don't know the next step, or I don't know the first step, or, you know, in some ways you go, you know, you talked about Google. In Google, if you don't know the one word that unlocks the key to everything, you will spend hours looking for something, and then you find that one word and it's like, oh, right. Yeah. Suddenly, once you know the terminology, right. And it's the same way with many things in life, that basically, you just need a tiny bit of knowledge to unlock something, assuming you've already got a good base of, you know, owning a business, knowing things, right. I know things. Yeah. So when people engage in this, let's take it first from what you call the vendor side. So if somebody is selling coaches, is that a vendor to you?
So no, the vendor side is where vendors can actually engage with us, and they can buy access to our experts for their partners. Because so many partners, you know, they get into PRMs, and there's all this content, and there's all this incredible things that vendors and suppliers want to their partners to use to market, right? To market their goods and services. But if you can provide the greatest email campaign that has ever, you know, ever been designed, but if that partner doesn't really understand how to build the list, or maybe they don't know, you know, how to set up a lead funnel that will take them from the top, you know, through to those sales phases. Or in my case, a lot of folks will book time with me just to walk through their sales deck, that kind of stuff.
I was thinking it was a two part, but it's really a three part. There's vendors who might want to buy time so that coaches and I guess the clients can not connect to each other, right? So an MSP might want to coach with me, and a vendor might want to make that happen.
Correct. So anybody, MSPs, vendors can come and get, you know, direct access to our experts, or if a vendor wants to offer it to their partners as a benefit for being partnered with them, they can do that as well. So, you know, and we obviously work with folks on many different levels, and this coaching cafe idea has kind of taken on a life of its own. You know, as an entrepreneur, you sort of have to pivot and go where things go. And we've been asked to bring this coaching cafe to many other events now. So it's been really, really interesting to see, like, the evolution of the product, of the service, of our company, you know, even over the last few months that we just launched. So, yeah.
So vendors and coaches and IT consultants should all get in touch with you and figure out how they can play their role.
For sure. Yeah.
Very good. Now, when I did the coaching cafe in Lost Wages, there were a lot of coaches, and I know three of them were with the National Society, but there were a lot of people in the room. So about how many coaches do you have signed up?
So we have over 200 on the platform itself, and we actually have a waiting list. Because, you know, with any marketplace, it's that, you know, that supply and demand and things like that. So, you know, we're slowly introducing you know, more and more coaches and experts as the demand, you know, comes forth. But in that case, we had 36 coaches that were live on site, and we'll be going to other events as well, as I mentioned. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you think you have this great idea. You don't know. I didn't sleep. I think I told you, I was like, I didn't sleep for like, you know, like weeks before. And, you know, but we opened the door at 8:30 in the morning and there was already a line. And it, and as you know, like it just buzzed all day long. People were in and in and in, and we had walk-ins. We had, you know, people could, it's very highly curated. It's not like a situation in one of those apps where it's like, oh, try to schedule a meeting with Carl. And Carl's like, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to meet you. It's very, you know, it's highly curated and people book specific times. So, you know, it's been a really interesting journey, as I mentioned, but also just seeing that energy and the people walking away from a session with someone like you, Carl, was like, that was the best, you know, time that I spent at this conference, because I got that one-on-one, you know, time with someone to give me that practical advice I needed. And again, sometimes it's not a long drawn out thing. It's, I just got you unstuck.
Well, and I may have made myself too available at that event, because I had a lot of walk-ons, as did Eric Simpson and Amy Babinchek. And so I know that a lot of people just came in and they weren't necessarily looking for me. They were looking for example, one person, like, I'm trying to figure out the problem to this, or the solution to this networking problem. Networking meaning meeting people and getting, you know, new clients engaged. And they sent them to me, right? So, There's a bit of matchmaking as well that goes on. So when you say it's curated, it's sort of like that's the matchmaker role. So what kinds of other advice is available? Like marketing, obviously, but what else?
Marketing, sales, M&A, because obviously that's a big thing in the channel now. You know, things like how to, you know, how to build a channel program. So many new folks are coming in to the channel and wanting just to get an understanding of what it is and how can I build a world-class channel program. Some folks, legacy vendors who have these legacy channel programs, like how can I get more from my partner? So we have, you know, so we have that as well, but we have PR in there. There's legal advice in there. So how to hire, like hiring advice. So really it runs the gamut. For small businesses, essentially, and vendors. But then we add that nuance of the channel. So when you speak to someone about marketing, like SEO is SEO, right? Like, you know, the keywords are the keywords. But some of the folks you'll speak to, even when you speak about sales and marketing, they'll know what an MSP is. Right. They'll know what, you know, what the technology oftentimes is. So it just helps to have that understanding of the world that we live in when you're trying to get that advice.
And obviously 20 minutes is not enough to get some of these topics covered. If you only have a nugget of a need, then a nugget of knowledge is perfect. But what if you have a bigger need, like the legal? I can't imagine that 20 minutes of legal is going to do me a lot of good. It might point me in the right direction, but then what do I do from there?
So the actual experiential, the coaching cafes are 25 minute time slots, but on the actual platform, they're 50 minutes. So they're basically double the amount of time. And even in that time, sometimes it's not enough, but the way we work is all of our experts, you can't pay to be an expert. You can't apply to be an expert. You have to be invited, because we want to make sure that it's it's an exclusive experience. We want the best of the best. And so what we say to our experts is, at the end of that call, if that individual wants to continue to do business with you, go forth and conquer. We don't ask for referral fees. I don't want to be chasing down people for money and sticking my hands in their pockets. You know, everyone that's on there is part of this community that wants to give back. And sure, we make money from the calls that you all do and the vendors that come in. But at the end of the day, if someone wants to engage with you and your community, buy one of your courses or whatever, we want that to be, you know, as part of the process. So I always said, before ecosystem became a thing, I would say, you know, I'm trying to support the whole ecosystem. So the MSPs, vendors, whoever, who need the coaching, the folks who actually do the coaching, and even taking it, as you said, a step further with the vendors, who can then give their partners something new and different that would differentiate their partner program from another, that can help their partners do more business. So really it like lifts everyone up.
So you may or may not have seen it, but a while back I did a fairly lengthy article in my newsletter about coaching is probably not right for most MSPs. You know, to sign up for 4 calls a month, $5,000, you know, for 6 months or a year, especially if they have one employee and they can only change one thing at a time, it is a total waste of money. So, but that same person could certainly use an hour's worth of very focused attention. So, you know, the alternatives to coaching, peer groups and so forth and so on, are spectacular. And so this sounds like a great little addition to that mixture of things that are actually useful to MSPs.
Well, yeah, because you can take that information you learn in a peer group. You sit around and folks will say, oh, I've done this, I've done that. And then you can come away with it. And I use my own expert network all the time, Carl. Like, right. I'll set time with someone. You know, we were redoing our marketing, one of our marketing funnels. And I set a time with one of our copywriting experts. And I was like, tell me what I'm not doing right here because something's not flowing right. Or I just want someone to look at it. So you're absolutely right. It's like, it's not an ongoing thing. And I think for a lot of small businesses, I wouldn't say coaching is useless necessarily, but I think that when you are small, sometimes you just need that either validation or that, you know, the pointing in the right direction, and then you can just take that next step.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's completely useless, but if you're only one person spending that kind of money, and not being able to implement anything. So we're going to send folks to channelwise.com and also check out Get Channelwise on miscellaneous social media. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Carl.
Hey, so have you heard anything new about the famous cage match that's supposed to happen here with our two big leaders in the industry, Elon Musk and Zuckerberg?
You know, neither one of them are my favorite people to really follow. So so I haven't heard much of an update. I can't even tell you where. I heard something somewhere that Elon was trying to find a way to get out, but I don't know if that's true. I mean, that, who knows, that could have been a poke that Zuckerberg and him, I know, like to poke at each other. So that could have been, yeah, Zuckerberg poking at Elon, like, oh, you're looking for a way out, you know. Who knows?
Yeah. I had it just seems like it's a bunch of hype and nothing will happen. But I did just read that Zuckerberg said he was responding to a question about, hey, is this really going to happen, or what's the latest going on? And he said, hey, if you hear any report in the media from Elon, it's false, because it didn't come through me, and he just is spouting his mouth off. But if it comes through me, then it's valid and truthful, because I give him the courtesy of making sure we're on the same sheet of music. So I couldn't tell if that was just more hype or if that was truth indeed.
Oh, who knows? I'm not really sure that I care. You know, the only thing I really would like, there's one thing I would like to come from this stupid cage match, and mm-hmm. that is to have it held up as the worst and most visible confirmation that our industry has a serious bro culture problem.
Yeah.
There is no better example than two industry leaders saying that they're going to do a cage match. It's ridiculous, and we still have a problem with there not being enough women in our industry. And the sad part is, it's not that they don't go to school and get their degrees. It's not that they don't start their careers in this industry. It's that they drop out. And so by the time you reach the middle of a career, they're not in the industry anymore. So they're leaving for a reason. And, you know, we have to acknowledge it, and we have to try to do something to fix it. It shouldn't be scaring any particular group out of a career path.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You're going to get no argument from me. I agree. It's almost embarrassing to see that. Cause I was more of a Elon Musk fan initially than Zuckerberg, but from his innovation, his mind, and what he's doing with electricity primarily. But anyway, I'm very disinterested anymore. So I'll just leave it at that. So, and then you had mentioned something just as we were chatting earlier about a funny post that you had saw online. What was the context of that?
Oh my gosh. It was a new security vendor made a post into an MSP group, as they do. And, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, we're We're an amazing new security vendor, and our product will add revenue to your business. And that in itself was like, okay, yeah, you know, we've heard that story before. You know, it's just kind of a not very interesting post, right? Didn't actually tell us anything about their product. But the comment in the post was hilarious, because the comment right under it was a gif of a guy repeatedly yawning. The guy that posted it wrote, "Oh, look, another vendor telling us that buying their product will make us money." And it's not necessarily not true. It's just not a very interesting way to tell, you know, that's not going to get me to buy your product, right? I still know nothing about the product.
Yeah. Yep. That's interesting. I laughed when you told me that initially, and I'm still laughing in my mind, but it kind of makes me think, in our industry specifically, there are a lot of, I'll just say vendors in general, consultants, vendors that are almost more of that snake oil salesman mentality, where they have these huge, like, oh, we can quadruple your MRR in 90 days. And it's like, what? And I'm still shocked at how many people just, you know, I call it clickbait. You know, they just click on it and believe it. And I don't know. I think I already know your opinion of that. But what are your thoughts? I'm sure you've seen those types of marketing claims. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. Although, you know, I'm sure that they can hold up an MSP that happened to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all of their customers are not going to have those results, right? It's like the latest, greatest diet, right? The latest diet fad. They can get a couple of people for their commercials, but you know, most people are going to have the same results on any diet they choose. I think it's the same thing, no, right? You can make money with anybody's product, but you know, that would have to be the entire focus of your business,
right?
So I'm just really disappointed overall in how security companies in particular are marketing themselves. You know, we're seeing a lot of these revenue claims. But most often I see the easy button claim, right? Just click here and everything will be secure. We're going to take care of all of it for you. And how do I know that's true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of trust to put into somebody.
Yeah.
You know, as you and I were talking earlier, these are brand new companies, so they don't have a track record to necessarily support that claim either.
Yeah, it's an important point to really vet out your strategic or go-to-market partners. You know, if you're adding, you know, 2, 3, 4 new security vendors in your security stack, you need to vet them out and make sure, you know, go visit them if you can. You know, I remember when I was running my practice, Amy, I did that on purpose. And one, I was trying to vet them out. Two, I was trying to form a really tight bond with their executive leadership. So I would get favoritism, like leads and free stuff, hint, hint. But more importantly, I was trying to, you know, form, you know, trusted relationships with the salespeople and, you know, go break bread. And, but you really, when you can make the type of effort, go visit them, I think it makes all the difference in the world. I was down earlier this year to the new ThreatLocker headquarters down in Orlando, Florida. And it was the, I think it was the old EA Arts software programming, you know, where they ran that business. It's a super impressive 8-story building. It was huge. And, you know, they basically had the entire building.
Wow.
And they, you know, they're